Well, I want to start off today by asking a question. I don't know if you grew up in a house where mom or dad used to mark growth marks on the door sill or the wall and chart your growth every year. Any of you ever do that? Yeah? So the neat part is that, as you can see in this case, they put the child's name and the date, and you could see from year to year how they would grow. And when you go back to mom and dad's house and see that stuff, it's kind of nostalgic and fun to watch. But I wonder, have you ever done that with your spiritual growth? Have you ever measured how much you've grown each year? It takes a little bit of reflection, doesn't it? Now, we had what I think was a pretty spectacular year this past year, despite the issues with the pandemic. But if you noticed in the bulletin today, our message is called Reflection and Direction. And so the first part of this message, I want to kind of remind you and reflect with you on where we've been so we can examine if we accomplished some of the things we set out to do. And that, of course, will give us direction for this next year. So we began last year with a sermon series about following Jesus. In that first sermon series of last year, that Jesus could have come with a sword, as many of the Jewish people thought he would, to free them from the Romans. But we came to learn in reading the Gospels, Jesus was a different kind of king. And the army that he called together did not carry clubs and swords and spears and arrows, but they were a disciple-making force. And he gathered people who were looked over by the Jewish rabbis, and he called them to be his disciples. And he called them to make disciples. And so we talked about in this series four stages of discipleship in coming to follow Jesus. We talked about come and see, just come and check out what's going on. And then a more commitment step, come and follow me. And Jesus didn't stop there. Then he asked for another thing. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And after he trained and equipped them, he sent them on mission to go and make disciples. And so my question for you at the end of that series was, where are you in the four stages of discipleship? Are you still in the come and see level? Maybe you need to move up to the come follow me level. Have you come and been an attender and in a follower of Jesus, but you've never been equipped and trained for the mission? Take the next step and become fishers of men. Have you completed the training, the equipping? Then you need to go and make disciples. Get on with the mission. But in our second series of the year, we talked about the reasons why some people don't go on mission. So we decided to set out to bust two of the most popular myths of why people don't share their faith. Sometimes when you're trying to share your faith with a friend, they might say, well, what are you talking to me about? You're not perfect. And we learn Christians don't have to be perfect. We have a Savior who was perfect, but we just need to be real and authentic. And in fact, sometimes we can use the fact that we're not perfect to talk about how God forgives people so they can live the lives He wants them to live. A second myth that we busted was Christians have to know everything. Some people ask, well, what if somebody asks me a question I can't answer? And I said, welcome to the club. I can't answer everything either. But we know that God's Word gives us answers, and it puts you in a really good place when you're talking to somebody and they ask a good question and you say, I don't know, but let's go to the Word and find out. To reinforce the point that you don't have to know everything and don't have to be perfect, in our next sermon series, we took a close look at the people who followed Jesus.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart?
In the Old Testament, when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, Moses asked this same question, who am I that I should go? And I would imagine those first disciples probably asked Jesus the same thing when he sent them on mission. Who are we to go? And Jesus says, you're my disciples. Go and do what I ask you to do. So how did people like an extrovert like Peter or an introvert like Andrew or hot-headed brothers, the sons of thunder, James and John, how were they expected to get along and to work on mission together? More notably, how were collaborators like Matthew the tax collector and Simon the freedom fighter, the zealot, how were they supposed to work together? And we talked about God uses everybody who has a willing heart, has a heart that's willing to go on mission for Him. So then we talked about the establishment of the early church after Jesus ascended to heaven. Peter preached the day of Pentecost on that day when the Holy Spirit came and filled the apostles. And so we learned in our next sermon series called Devoted some very important things. A lot of things that could have shaken the lives of the early believers, but they rallied around four things that we learned in Acts 2:42. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, which we have encompassed in our New Testaments. They were focused on fellowship, the idea of doing life together. They knew no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Christians followed Jesus in a group, in a church. They were also devoted into sharing in meals together, including the Lord's Supper. And they were devoted to prayer. And when we, as a church that follows Jesus, focus on those things that the early church focused on, that builds a healthy church, that builds a church that's ready for growth. But you know, we live in a culture today where there's a lot of misconceptions about who's going to heaven and how you get there. So we took a trip out west for this next series. We learned that culturally speaking, a lot of people think, well, good people go to heaven, and bad people, well, they go to the other place. But we learned that actually it's forgiven people are going to make it to heaven. There were some people who did some pretty bad things as recorded in Scripture. Even the thief on the cross, as he was being crucified and punished for his sins, he reached out and asked forgiveness from Jesus, and he got it. So we learn that we shouldn't stick with those stereotypes of the good go to heaven, the bad go to hell, but we need to recognize that only the forgiven who follow Jesus make it. Then we jump back to the last message that we learned in our series on devoted about the early church was devoted to prayer. And we did a series on the subject of prayer.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed, and those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn
In this series, we looked at four P's of prayer. We looked at the purpose of prayer, and most people think prayer is about asking God for stuff, and we learned that's not the purpose of prayer at all. The purpose of prayer is to build this intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father so we can know Him and worship Him. We talked about the power of prayer and how even Jesus set time aside from his busy schedule to get up early in the morning and go out away from people and connect with his Heavenly Father. And if it was that important for Jesus to do, how much more important is it for us? We talked about the pattern of prayer, and we talked about the persistence of prayer. And if we're going to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, we need to be committed to prayer. In our next series, we took a look at a young woman who should have never been a part of the Christian family, but ultimately she was, because she was redeemed.
It's you and me and you. Where you go, I'll go too. I'm with you. Till your heart finds a home, I won't let you feel alone. I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, with you.
A beautiful account of a young Moabite woman who was rejected by the people of Israel, but she married into the Jewish family. But her husband and her father-in-law died, and she followed her mother-in-law back to the land of Judah. And she not only followed Naomi's God, she not only stayed committed to the family, she ended up being part of the lineage of the Messiah. Pretty amazing for a young woman who wasn't supposed to be there. So that means that God can use any of us, and He will redeem any of us. So then we took a moment to consider, what if you were given a diagnosis? What if you were given information that you only had a certain amount of time left to live? How would that change the way you follow Jesus? Talked about if most of us knew a definitive amount of time we had left, we might live our lives with more purpose and intention. We might live our lives in such a way to leave a better spiritual legacy. And then at the end of the summer and beginning of the fall, we took a break to look at some amazing stories from the Bible.
Thank you.
one thing all of these stories had threaded through them was God is God. He is all powerful. His will is going to be accomplished, and he does it through ordinary people like you and me. But then in the fall, we took a look at the fact that the Bible tells us that we have an enemy, and we are engaged in a spiritual war. So we talked about that things aren't always as they appear, that we live in a place that we can't see everything going on, and the Bible tells us about this spiritual war going on. We can't see it, but we sure do see the effects. And we learned that our enemy is like a fisherman. He tempts us to disobey God, but he cannot make us take the bait. And God even gave us a special provision of armor to wear to defend ourselves and be left standing on the battleground. Let's see if you remember, we had six pieces of armor. It started with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of the gospel. We had the shield of faith. We had the helmet of salvation. And we had the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so all of those pieces of armor are given to us so that we can be equipped and be able to stand and fight. And then that took us into our Christmas message, which you still see remnants from on this stage. Talked about the colors of Christmas and their relevance to our celebration, the colors of green and the evergreen, the color of blue, that sometimes people don't always have a joyous time of year. We talked about the white Christmas represented by not snow, but the light of Christ. We talked about the gold Christmas and about bringing our best gifts to Jesus. And we talked about the red Christmas, remembering the sacrifice of the little boys in and around Bethlehem that were killed, but ultimately God's Son who was killed. So today we turn a page on a new year, 2022. But I want to encourage you with a couple of verses of Scripture as we move from our time of reflection to our time of direction. And they both come from 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes these things to young Timothy, and in verse 2 of chapter 2, he said, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." And if you think about it, that's what Jesus did when he called people to follow him. He entrusted them with his teachings and said, "I want you to pass them on to others who will be reliable to pass the message on." And because those first disciples did, they won other disciples who won other disciples, and that's why you and I are sitting here in a church where we worship Jesus today, because of the faithfulness of those disciples. But the question for us becomes, are we passing these things on to other people, most notably a younger generation who will be trustworthy to pass it on to others? And this is where, as we examine the things that have happened last year, the things that we learned in the ways that we grow, there's another verse out of this chapter that is highly relevant, verse 15, which says, "Make every effort to present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." And if we are going to be faithful to the command of Christ to make disciples, we need to entrust these things to other people, but it starts with us. It starts with us by making every effort to make ourselves the kind of people who can make that mission work. So, at the end of my first sermon series of last year, Follow Me, I issued you a challenge. And we might remember, if you were here, we used four chairs to represent the four stages of discipleship. Come and see, come follow me, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, and go and make disciples. So where were you last January? And did you move up a seat? Did you step up your spiritual growth? If so, that's awesome. If not, why not? What is preventing you from growing in Christ? I go back to the illustration of the markings on the wall as a kid grows. If the growth stops, mom or dad might take the child to the doctor to see what's going on. But God wants us to grow year by year. In addition to this challenge of moving up a stage in the seats of discipleship, I also issued a challenge last January that we called Each One, Bring One, and it was a theme for the year. And we acknowledge that when we read the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, it's kind of overwhelming. And for many people, we think, well, I can't win the world, it's too much, so we don't do anything. But the question was, what if my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, help me bring one person to know Jesus this year? Just one. And so I encourage you to pray that prayer. I encourage you to get equipped and trained and ready when the opportunity comes. Well, the goal was, if each one brings one, we'd double the size of our church family. Well, we know that didn't happen. There were probably lots of issues, not the least of which might have been the pandemic and people's fear of coming. But there may be other things as well. But that wasn't a gimmick for 1 year. That's something that we want to continue to do this year. So the question then becomes, if we are really going to take this to heart, if this is going to be a theme for us in making disciples, what can I do to better equip myself for this mission? And I have a few ideas. One that we just started back up with last fall was our Adult Bible Fellowship. We meet right across the hallway in the fellowship hall at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and we've been introducing a new way to study the Bible called the ABCD method. And I think that everybody that has participated has grown and really enjoyed the opportunity to read together God's Word and share what God is teaching. It's a little bit of a different method because in years past you may have been a part of a class like I was where you just attend and you hear what the teacher learned this past week. In this, we're all reading each week, we're all learning and growing, and then we come and we share the things God has taught us. The door is always open and you are welcome to join us at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. But I want to tell you about something else that'll be new this year. It's going to be something that we're going to do in our church family, particularly as new people begin to come. When we start making disciples, when we start inviting people to come and see and to come follow Jesus, many people that have even started coming this last year have asked me, David, how do I become a part of the Hamersville Church of Christ? Well, we're going to start something this year that is ultimately designed for new people coming into the church family, but we want everybody to participate in this one time so that you see what everybody else is going to experience. I call it the iChurch Workshop, and it's about how I get connected to my church. Many people have enjoyed the advent of the iPod, the iPad, the iPhone, all of the i things. And it's about how you get connected. It's all integrated. So we're going to borrow that idea from Apple, and we're going to talk about how do I get connected to my church? How do I get plugged in? How do I get assimilated? How do I serve? And it really will change everything from just being a church attender to becoming an actual participant in the church family. So this is a workshop that we're going to do after church on a Sunday. Ultimately, we'll do this about three times a year as new people come into the church family, but to kick us off and to give everybody an opportunity to participate and see what it's all about, we're going to have three opportunities for you coming up later this month. We're going to have three Sundays where I'm willing to give up my after-church time to do this, And I just ask you to pick one of these days that you can come and participate. We will feed you lunch, and then we will go through the iChurch workshop so that you can understand what we'll be telling new people coming into the church family about who we are and what we're about. There is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer where you can pick a Sunday that you can come. We do need reservations simply because we're going to order pizza, and we need to know how much food to get. So I'd like to encourage everyone in the church family to pick one of these Sundays and sign up for one. You got about 3 weeks that you can decide, and pick one of those weeks and come. So we have adult Bible fellowship that can help get you trained, equipped, and to grow. We're going to have this iChurch workshop. And then one thing that you've heard me talk about before, I want to say it again, because we have some people in our church family that have been through this, but others who have not. But probably one of the most definitive things that we're doing is what we call discipleship training. And this is a time where we get together in an extremely small group, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes two-to-two. But it's not a class, but it's a very small group. It's relational, and we basically go through the basics of what it takes to make somebody a disciple. And the idea is it starts with one person who trains a second, and then each of those people train two more, and then those four can train four more. And you see the multiplication factor here. We have more disciples who can share this with more disciples. And once you've been through the discipleship training, you actually have a notebook so you can lead somebody else to do it. You may remember that we had some testimonies from our first people that were through this the first summer I was here with you, and everybody was really glad they did it, and I think you will be too. So those are three opportunities of things you can participate in to step up your spiritual growth: the Adult Bible Fellowship, the iChurch Workshop, and Discipleship Training. And then to give you a teaser for next week, we're going to start a new sermon series next week that will be on the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. I call the series In the Beginning. We're going to go through chapters 1 all the way up through the first part of chapter 12. And this is going to be, in terms of our sermon series, a teaching year where we're going to go back to the basics, and we're going to talk about the questions that are answered in the opening chapters of Genesis about the origins and the purpose of life. Why are we here? What's God want us to do? And so that'll be a neat way for you to read and prepare each week. We'll do about a chapter a week out of Genesis, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that sermon series. This will be a little bit of a longer series. We'll take about 11 weeks. This will run up close to Easter, but Easter is very late this year. But I hope that you will make a decision this year to make participation in the life of the church family a high priority, and that you will grow in such a way that you can move that spiritual growth marker a little bit up on the doorpost so you can see how much you will grow by the end of this year. I'd like to encourage you to pray with me, and then we're going to stand and sing a sermon response song. Lord God, we thank you for our church family. We thank you that you've placed us here in this community, and we thank you that you're training and equipping us to be the church that you want us to be. Father, we understand our mission is to go and make disciples, but sometimes it presents some challenges. And so I just pray, Father, that as a church family, get behind some of these initiatives that we're planning, and that you can help us be equipped and encouraged to do the very thing that you want us to do. Help us to be more than just what happens in a lot of churches and become pew potatoes, but help us get active in the partnership, the fellowship, and the mission of our church, because we truly do want to follow Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song, I Will Follow You. Thank you.